As we went into the break, we were talking about...
Mike's got the music thing going on today, man.
Air guitar on your yard,
right? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly.
Going away from painting over prune cuts.
You know, trees in the out in the desert, out in the forest, when the limb breaks off, they heal themselves. And so other than really rose bushes, or if you have a big tear or a big wound in a tree, we just don't advocate using pruning sealers anymore because the tree will actually naturally seal over, callus over that cut. My concern with what it sounds like to me is perhaps that limb is still dead. You know, there's some dead end. There's probably still some more dead wood. Maybe that the entire limb didn't cut off. What everything that needed to be removed didn't get removed. Perhaps. There's still an opportunity for that carpenter bee to get in there. So I would maybe prune it back a little more if that, you know, without seeing it, I'm just kind of speculating. The other thing, there's a couple of products that would help. Spinosad is great for borers, and it's an organic. So if you want something, you know, a little more organic, you could use spinosad and spray it on the affected area. Get the roots, and it would uptake it into anything that's alive. Now, it won't go into the dead tissue, and if there's still dead tissue and those guys are living in there, they're still going to be there. So there's a couple of options for her.
Appreciate the call, Carol. Hope that helps you get rid of them. Let's bring Patty into the conversation. Next on the line wants to talk about selecting the proper peach variety. Good morning, Patty.
Good morning. When I go to the grocery store and buy peaches, they seem to ship them while they're kind of green. Sometimes I get a really nice, juicy peach when they finish ripening. Sometimes they're really mealy and flavorless. How can I tell in advance if there's a way, and what causes them to be mealy?
I think that's probably the first call we've ever had from on the perspective
how to select
of
how
grocery
to select
store
produce.
I'm anxious to hear this.
Yeah, well, good luck. I don't know. I mean, feeling them, you can feel if they're, you know, if they're rock hard, you obviously probably don't want to buy them. If they're too soft, usually mealiness to me means they're kind of overripe. That's really good. If you can, a lot of times you'll lock onto, like with apples, you'll lock onto a variety that you really like and you know is, so you buy them over and over again and they're pretty reliable, like Honeycrisp. If I can find a Honeycrisp apple, oh man, I just think they're the rock stars of the apple world. So, and you know, you just never get a bad one. So if you can find a peach variety and they label them, sometimes they don't tell you what variety you're getting with peaches. You just get what you get. I wish I could tell her. I just don't know, other than if you can find a really good produce guy in your favorite store, maybe go to the produce manager and just say, you know, where did you get these? When did they come in? Are there several varieties here? Which one do you like? Can I try one? I've had bad luck here buying your peaches, and I'd like to sample one. I don't know if they'd let you do that, but it'd be worth a shot.
Peaches are really only made to be put in homemade vanilla ice cream.
Or eaten out of a can.
Or a can. On cottage cheese. Canned peaches on cottage cheese.
Just get a fork and open that can, and I'm good to go. You can go to the Arizona Department of Agriculture, actually publishes a book on farmer's market. It might be worth looking up the local farmer's market in your area.
If you could
area.
Find some local peaches, which, you know, now you'd have to go to, you know, somewhere more northern Arizona to find, you know, local peaches. But if you could find some, you know, maybe Wilcox, maybe some later peach varieties. That's always a kind of a win-win. But as far as the grocery store goes, it's hit and miss. And I prefer nectarines over peaches because the fuzz, I have to peel a peach to eat. I can't eat, you know, I don't know what it is. I think this year I have yet to really have a good nectarine. I don't know what it is. So I can't pick them either, so I really don't know what to tell you.
Canned peaches and vanilla ice cream. Good morning, Sharon. Says she's been listening
for
20 years, and this is her first time call. Good morning.
Good morning. I live in Sunny Slope. I would like to. I have a fence that faces north, and the neighbors have finally trimmed their oleander, so I have sun in that area, and I'd like to plant by seed African daisies.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I need to prep the ground, so I have the husband working on that. I know, according to all the things I've read, I need to add some sand. What else do I need to add? And when do I actually start planting the seeds? And do I do them all at one time, or do I spread them out a little bit?
Okay, well, African daisies, actually, believe it or not, don't need very good soil. You know, you'll see them growing in people's desert landscape right in the gravel and the rock. And so you don't need to, you know, I'm going to let the husband off a little easy this weekend. He doesn't need to do a ton of stuff to it. Maybe a little loose sand if there's no material to kind of brush or rake or broom back over the top of the seed. I would sow the seed all at once. I would sow it sometime in October, even early November. What we want to do is time it before our winter rains arrive. You hear that, Lord? Winter rains. And if you don't get those winter rains starting in December or January, about every 2 weeks, you probably will need to sprinkle them every couple of weeks to get them to come up. And that's really about all you do. Then what you want to do next spring, as they start to burn up and die, and you got to let them die completely and go out there and kind of, as after they're burn up, brown, dead, kind of shake them a little bit, rake them around a little bit, get that seed to fall back into the ground. That seed will sit there all through the summer and into the early fall, and again, it'll just repeat itself. So once you get enough of them going, you may not have to do that every year.
We appreciate the call. As we clear a line, that opens up a line for you and your gardening landscape question at 1-888-767-4348. 1-888-ROSIE for you. Corky's next on the line. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
I have a chamomile tree. We planted two of them last year, and the tips of the leaves are brown, and it's really been, it's got tons of leaves on it. It was like a 30-gallon box tree. I've had a couple people saying it's salt in the soil, but I just wanted to verify that.
Probably, and it's hard not to get that with a big leafy tree like that and with our temperatures, and, you know, salts could be a problem, or it could just be a little bit of desiccation. That's a tree that needs a ton of water, especially during the warmer months. If you want to help that a little bit, use some gypsum or some soil sulfur around it and really concentrate on giving it long, slow, deep watering. Water, you know, that 30-gallon or 30-inch box you planted is about 3 feet deep, and that's about how deep we want to get the water when we water them, any big tree. So it takes hours to get water to go that deep. So really concentrate on that. That'll help. That being said, you may still end up with a few brown tips by the end of summer on a tree like that, and it's just hard to get around that.
All of our ash trees have a little bit of browning on the very outside. It's, like you said, that was a hard summer to get through.
Two bouts of 115 to 18 degrees for more than several days at a crack is pretty tough on non-native type trees.
And no rain for almost 6 months. Yeah. I mean, it was January, and then it was August. I mean, it was just...
pretty tough environment if you're not a Palo Verde or a Mesquite.
I see. I kind of nerd out on watching rain, so I'm on rainlog.org all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And many rain logs in Maricopa County recorded over 5 inches in August.
Yeah, it got with it. But you're right. Yeah. It was we had a really good start to the winter rain,
yes,
and it quit.
It just
stopped.
And
we had nothing.
We appreciate the call. We have a texter before we get to our next call that wants to know if they can plant milkweed to harvest or help encourage monarch butterflies.
Absolutely. Milkweeds, the desert milkweed does very, very well here. And there's some other, there's butterfly weeds. There's a bunch of different plants to attract butterflies and pollinators that all do really well here. Absolutely.
Where do you, milkweed?
We sell milkweed.
You do? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, sounds like a weed. It doesn't sound like something you'd find at a nursery.
Yeah. Well, the definition of a weed is basically a plant that's in an unintended spot. So
anything,
you know,
could be a
weed. A rose bush could be a weed if it was growing in the middle of your vegetable garden.
So, milkweed for monarchs.
There you go.
Let's bring Keith into the conversation from Mesa. Welcome to the program.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
I've got two 30-year-old olive trees out here, and there are so many olives on them, I don't want them to fall off on the ground. And this is kind of goofy, but is there anybody that might come just get those things to have them, just the olives?
You know, that is a possibility. I don't know how to put you in contact with those folks.
The olive mill out there in Queen Creek, and they don't do it.
You know, I put an ad on Craigslist.
Oh, okay.
I just put a notification on Craigslist or something like that. There are times I've had people, you know, that love to put up olives, and they're always looking for trees that, because almost everybody sprays anymore, and they don't let the trees come on, or the olives come on. So, you know, just a thought, if you could get it out there, there are probably some people looking for them.
You had mentioned there's a, I mean, you don't just go, you can pick an apple off a tree and eat it. You can't just pick an olive. There's a
now you have to cure process. Yeah, there's different recipes. You can do them green. You can do them, you know, when they've turned color. You know, I believe Maricopa County Extension has a brochure or a handout or pamphlet. It's probably online on how to do that.
That might be something worth having a segment on. Now, it's going to be very counterintuitive because you can't plant fruiting olives anymore. So it'd be a program for somebody grandfathered in from 20 years ago.
And I've noticed this year, maybe it's because it's been hot and dry, the olive trees that did not get sprayed are just loaded. I mean, they're bending down, hanging down with olives on them. So, you know, it's a bumper crop year if you want to do it, if you can find somebody that's got a tree that's got fruit on it.
When did they outlaw the selling of fruited olives? Was that the same time they did mulberries?
Same bill. I want to say it was in the 80s.
Yeah, so that would have been a long grandfather.
It's been a long time.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you.